recorded live from Stockton, California, this is Jammin' with the Best.
Never heard you say 100, but welcome.
Yeah, what's up, dude? We're back finally. It's been a while since we've hopped on the mics.
It's been a hectic few weeks here.
And every time we do it now, it seems like it's a guest, and that's what forces us to actually do it. So we've got a couple guests tonight who have an amazing, I mean, it's okay, a disc golf podcast of their own, the Disc Golf Podcast. We've got Joe and Robin. Thank you guys for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Danny. Really, really enjoy coming on your show.
We've been drinking already. Really, if you haven't, you can't tell.
Your show.
All over your show. Really, okay, yeah. And
got it.
We just wrapped up a pre-show and then a show from yours, so that'll be coming out soon.
Yeah.
And then Aaron now has to mess with this one, but
I feel way less prepared than them. They were like, "This is episode whatever." I don't know what episode you guys were on.
And here I am, 206 for them. Yeah.
And here I am, like, looking it up right now to see what episode we're on. We are on episode 56.
Yeah, nice. But you also do your interview episodes, and then you do your talk and shop episodes, and then you do. So you got like a whole different kind of style going on. We have a few like that, but for the most part, we have.
And you do your barbecue shows and your car shows, you know.
You got different types of shows here, man.
Joe has been drinking. This is the problem with recording two podcasts and then a third one.
Yeah.
The rails just. They're no longer there. It's not even off the rails. It's just.
Listen, I offered to start with the gem with the best, and then do ours later. But you know,
nah. This is like
I would much rather have ours be the giant shit show.
It's not much different than having Crash on the show.
That's what I told Joe early on. You're our Crash.
We have an episode that's called "Fuck You, Crash."
Yeah, and we also have an episode called "Day Drinking."
Yeah, and butt chugging.
Okay. Yeah. It's not an actual episode. It's a pre-show episode, but we have Shit Tourette's.
Oh, that's one of the best. I like it.
We have Pee Dirt.
Yep.
I like that too.
That's not bad. And let's see. I think those are probably the most notable
pre-shows that we're just
fully explicit.
Right,
but these are all pre-shows that we do.
Yeah.
They're all the Patreon only ones. So.
What episode stands out to you guys? Do you have one that you feel like was one of your best ones, or that if people are going to listen for the first time, like one that they should highlight or just start at the most recent?
So I think what most people would tell you, if you're a new disc golfer, you should go back and listen from the beginning, because we really focused on beginner fundamentals early on, because we didn't know what the fuck.
Episode 5.
You can start with episode 1. Episode 1 and 2, I think we had like really terrible transition music and got out of it. But in the early phases of the show, we focused on core beginner fundamentals, you know, what to do in certain types of wind, like how to throw in certain situations. We took like the core kind of 10-15 things you need to know how to do as a disc golfer, and focused on getting people to throw lower speed discs, and really kind of had segments that were geared towards at least getting people on the right path of learning to play the game, rather than just getting out and finding a 12 speed disc and hucking it at the basket. So
yeah.
A lot of people would say just like start there. If you're experienced in the game and you know how to play, I just say start with the newest episodes. And if you absolutely love us, you can go back and go from there. In my opinion, the Simon episode is my favorite, because Simon is awesome. And he kind of gave some like real true insight into his soul as a player and a person, and was like 100% real with us in the whole thing. So I really enjoyed that episode.
I'd say
that was pretty good.
Any episode with Ian from Central Coast is great.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think episode 180 was probably a decent episode.
Got that guy's injured. A dick, I heard. So
there was an episode. Just like if you, I feel like see us at our worst, and you might be into it. Like, I don't know the episode, but we had Sean Jack and Sean Mercy from
that was so good.
The Sean's are great.
Disc golf, and I had many a beverage, and somehow I still love Sean Jack. I'll tell you right now, I love Sean Jack to this day. I don't know how he feels about me, but he definitely quickly, I think, decided he didn't like me, but it was still a fun episode.
So,
I think he decided he loved you and wanted to give you a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Either way, that's it worked Sean. Out super well. It was super duper
so
fun.
We can't mention Sean Jack on the show without me and Danny mentioning for his own sake, because he wants to hear this. Me and Danny throw really far for locally.
he gives us shit that we talk about too often, how we throw, we have good distance locally, and that we're hard to beat in doubles.
He gives us hella shit, so yeah, I have to bring
just,
that up.
We got to just check that box within like the first 6 minutes. And yeah, Sean Jack, we love you. We got that out of the way.
We love you, and we throw further than you, so sorry.
That's true. So you guys...
I mean, is it that hard to throw farther than Sean Jack?
That's what started the whole piece of him just talking shit, was me being like, oh, that's how far you throw? I can for sure throw farther than you. And then it just spiraled. It was fine. It was fine.
Sean Jack can at least throw it in the basket from the tee pad, though.
Oh!
What's
Joe famously does not have an ace.
Zero aces.
Is that a thing? Wait, people can't do that. That's not a thing. I don't believe
Joe, sometimes discs stay in the basket. They hit the chains and they stay there.
Oh, like when you
first throw.
When you're like a really bad shot and it's like, oh, thank God the chain stopped it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens, yes.
I have an ace that was like that for sure. The chains caught my frisbee and kept it near the basket.
Yep.
Oh, I've had
my chains
catch my frisbee, keep it near the basket. I've also had the chains catch my disc and throw it way far from the basket, just never in the basket.
Well, in the basket's near the basket.
Well.
That should just be,
you guys...
That should just be, everybody talks about ace, I just go, well.
You should just have that like programmed up on the board. Just like, anyone brings up ace, you just press the same recording.
Disc golf podcast pin. Like one of the nice enamel pins that just says, well.
Yeah.
It's just the ace counter that's stuck at zero.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Dude, I wish I had the board plugged in at the moment, but we have a fantastic soundbite of Joe who on a Skyline, which is in Napa, and there's hole 8, which has a huge hillside to the left. As you throw down. So if you hyzer out, you are going way down a ravine and you're going to have to deal with throwing up, 200 feet in elevation towards your basket.
Least, yeah.
And so on Joe's first shot, he just absolutely shanks it. Like, this is like
awful hyzer out of the hand. It's gone down.
Like, this is a 350 foot position and he threw a 280 foot hyzer. Type situation.
Probably rolled.
Real bad.
Knowing Skyline, it probably rolled.
Yeah. No, it couldn't roll because it hit the very bottom of the room.
Very bottom, all right.
It hit the
very, very bottom.
Yeah.
And we're filming, and he turns around, looks at the camera, and goes, all right, I'm just going to take a retee. And proceeds to grab a disc out of his bag, does the exact same thing, except the moment the disc leaves his hand, he just lets out and, oh, no!
I got to hear that.
It was a little more subdued. It was more just like, oh, no.
No. We can play. It's been on our show.
It was everything. Everything was bad. Everything was bad about that shot. I will tell you, in the last 2 years, I've done a very good job with that hole. But that was complete garbage on film. With like, this is early in the podcast too, so it was not only was it like on film and garbage, but it was also people that we met who like were like, "Oh, we love the podcast. We love to play around with you." So it was like that on top, just complete garbage. Two shots in a row. It was brutal.
There's some pretty.
And then he had to work his way out of a freaking ravine up a hill towards this basket.
Just
and I think eventually.
Again.
eventually took like a snowman or some sort of shit like that. But
I've also done some really bad things on film.
Well, here's the thing, like re-teeing again
on the course.
I still have to go back down.
Joe, you're just gonna walk right past that? The man just said he did some bad things on film, and you want to go on to your?
No, I'm so sorry.
Come on.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
No, we can pass it over. That's not.
We're coming on their show, and you just want to just go right past that?
Yeah, go past it.
Coming on things. Let's talk about his bad things on film.
In and around.
Yeah, like things got wet.
That's it. We don't get like a.
Yeah. I think that's sufficient. All right,
fine.
That's
sufficient. All right,
Joe, you can go back to your story.
Yeah. Back to Joe's story.
I'm done. I'm sorry.
He's done. As he drinks his Truly.
Like, how many Trulies is that, Joe?
Like 12.
How many Trulies have you drank?
He counted how many cans he had earlier during your podcast.
That's the fifth Truly.
I know. I was trying to talk about the Discraft Great Lakes Open.
And I was dying laughing the whole time.
Like counting them over the screen.
That's Truly.
I had no idea what was going on.
There was also a Snow Spring Zeus and two PBR Extras. So this is like my eighth drink.
That's some good shit right there,
but
man.
The Trulies are only like 5%, so it's fine.
It's a lot of fun trying to recap a tournament when someone is like counting beer like sheep
across
the
screen.
Zoom screen.
And none of us are together.
Listen, I 100% knew what I was doing. I knew it was hilarious. And that's the great thing about having the Zoom. You can just, have a little fun in the background.
Weird. Super weird still.
I love it.
Are you wearing pants? You're wearing pants, right? Shorts? No, don't stand up. No, just answer. Just answer the question.
All I see is shirt.
We can't see. All we see is shirt.
I got shorts on and boxers underneath said shorts. And a button-up shirt and a shirt, so we're fine.
He's good. He's got more clothes on than me right now.
Wow. And
Aaron just has an Orlando Magic jersey on.
I got a Penny Hardaway jersey on and nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the shop. Right. So.
I'm glad I'm not there.
Also, anyone cares, it's opening night for the NBA, and LeBron James hit a game-winning shot to beat the Clippers.
All right.
And they easily covered that, like, plus 30.
Plus 37 is what it ended at, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so if you didn't know about I tried to bet on it, but California doesn't allow sports gambling. FanDuel Sportsbook had a Pat McAfee moving bet. It started at Lakers -4, and for every 2,500 fans that bet on the Lakers, it moved the line to the Lakers 1 point.
Oh, man.
It got to plus 37.
Oh, yeah. Lakers
free
plus
money.
37.
That's free money.
That is very much free money.
And I tried to do it, and they told me, no, you live in California. So
yeah, pretty much.
It's OTB needs a VPN sponsor right now.
Oh, that'd be nice.
We seriously considered that.
Yeah.
That definitely happened. Well, while Joe's gone and we can actually get a question in, I do love you, Joe, and I know you can hear this and you want to say
He's
something.
Running back right now.
I bet
Joe's taking a piss with Bluetooth headphones on right now.
Yeah,
so.
Just mainlining Truly and it's going right through him. Robin, when did you guys start Disc Golf Podcast, and where was that vis-a-vis you guys starting playing disc golf?
So we started the podcast about 4 years ago, 2016, and I think it was February of 2016, and we started it because we were in a fantasy football league with some good friends, and they were sports media broadcasting majors essentially, and so they did some recordings. They had a podcast, and we went on with them and recorded some fantasy football type stuff and really enjoyed it, and just decided that we wanted to record a podcast of our own. So we went through a bunch of different things. We had the idea that we would do like a podcast called maybe Don't Call My Wife,
Don't
Tell My Wife.
I mean, I guess both, but...
Yeah.
Funny podcast names are the best.
But just kind of was going to be bullshit that was going to be sports and all that sort of stuff. When we eventually decided that there's so many podcasts that are about stuff like that. Why would we do that?
Yeah.
And we both love disc golf. At that point, I had gotten Joe pretty much fully immersed in disc golf. So we just decided, why not do it? And the same people that got us into podcasting when we were going through names of a disc golf, of a, what the podcast name should be, all that sort of thing, they were like, wait, is the Disc Golf Podcast available? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, okay, the name is the Disc Golf Podcast.
Yeah. That definitely makes search engine, like, super easy. Like, I'm into disc golf. I want a podcast. Let me just search Disc Golf Podcast. You guys are definitely going to come up first. And you also have, like, the biggest following, or at least damn near.
I think so. DeGam still outranks us in most of it, but I don't really look too far into that.
Sure.
More or less. But we both started playing disc golf in Chico like around 2003, 2004, and at that point it was really just like an excuse to go drink in a park type thing.
Yep, just fill a backpack full of Natty Light and just stomp around with one disc and throw tomahawks and whatever.
So I think I had my first disc was just like an Arrow and like a DX Beast type thing I was playing most. There. Yeah.
Had the Archangel.
So,
oh, that's even better.
It's the makings of a champion.
Roll
right
is
there.
Your putter.
Yeah, yeah.
Backpack and Natty Ice and an Archangel.
And the Arrow.
Natty Light. We weren't. You know,
Natty Ice is tastes. Natty Ice tastes too bad to even drink.
It's bad.
But we kept getting out there and playing and having a good time. And then I started to get serious quite a bit later, actually, than that. Probably like 2008 type timing, where I was living close to Shady Oaks. That was probably Orangevale, California, yep. Sacramento, home St. Patrick Classic, home of Drew Gibson. You got a lot of Patrick Brown influence in there. You've got
a Hoop, of course. Austin Hoop and Alex Lyon, OTB sponsor players.
Yeah. So fantastic course. It's very technical, and that's where I went on and started playing on there and playing with people to be like, dude, you just threw OB. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's no such thing as OB. And they're like, yeah, man, you're OB. And also, like, why are you throwing that beast forehand on this? Like, you're fucking crazy. So so I really kind of, like, learned the actual aspects of the game playing there. And then I subsequently moved to San Francisco. And same thing in Golden Gate Park, playing there.
Like,
he became
lived, like,
more of
what,
a disc golfer.
A 10-minute walk, if not less.
Yeah, about 10-minute walk. So I was living in Outer Richmond, very, very close to Golden Gate Park, and started playing there all the time, probably 6 days a week at that point. And that's where it really, like, between those two places, really coming into form, and that's where I got Joe in, just like, Joe, you have to do this.
Well,
you
kind of started there. So he lived there, and I, you know, we'd been friends for us. So we're like, we played like Pop Warner football together, and then we went to Chico together, to college together, and then did all that stuff. And then I would go visit him in the city, and still, I feel like the one or two times I went to Golden Gate with Rob, and I was like in sandals still, like with one disc, being like, whatever, it's cool. But honestly, what happened, like the big catalyst was my wife and I moved back to Sonoma, and at the same time Robin had a great business opportunity to move back to Sonoma too, and he lived with us. And so we all lived together for like 6 months, and during that time he was like, listen, you could play well, you could have a good time, come play more. And we started going out to like the local course in Sonoma County, and that's when it really sparked. You know, you've all been there where you have that day where you throw everything like garbage, but you have like one good throw, and you're like, oh, if I could do that every time, things would be great. So let's keep like rocking towards that. And it was a good, you know, and Robin's been an amazing sport through all of it, because, you know, I'm very hard-headed. I definitely consider myself a reformed bag kicker. I definitely, and I still to this day, honestly, with a little better form, but I still muscle everything. But at the beginning, it was all arm and muscling and like getting distances that I shouldn't with discs that I shouldn't throw. And just through time and just being open to be like, what Robin is telling me makes sense. I should listen to it and try and incorporate it into my game. But through that, just forged, like, we had a great friendship before, and this has, like, really helped solidify it and get it, like, deeper and deeper with that whole podcast piece and then just disc golf and being able to, yep, and also that, that has really, you know, just made it such a great thing, I think, in both of our lives.
Fuck yeah. We're stoked you're doing it, too. It's a good listen. For anybody who hasn't checked it out and somehow listens to our podcast and not yours, you should definitely yeah. give it a listen. You guys are consistent, too. It's definitely, it's one a week, right? You're pretty much
more or less.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Pretty much, yeah.
More consistent than us.
We miss one here and there. Like, we missed one a couple weeks ago because Joe bought a house and was busy
yeah,
getting
congrats.
In there. So, and we miss other ones, like when I have a kid every 12 to 18 months yeah. and stuff like
and
that.
And like COVID just, and like we're in Sonoma, California. So like also fires and power outages.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah. Fires is a know, real thing there.
Do things where we live.
Don't build houses great. In the forest, people.
Yeah, pretty much.
But they're
so
cool.
We're it's mostly every week.
Yeah.
Mostly
yeah.
every week. We do probably, I'd say we do 45 to 50 episodes a year.
They're yeah. far more consistent than us, but we go on yeah, hotter so. Streaks.
You guys do go on hot streaks.
We've had like 3 weeks where we had like three killers on our podcast, and we're like, whoa,
yeah,
what just happened?
We did go through a stretch where it was like, I'm not afraid to reach out to anybody. Like, let's just see who we can get on. And pretty much everybody was like, yeah.
We had a little extra time than normal.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about disc golf is that really most anyone you reach out to is accessible.
Yeah.
Except Paul. You know, I don't know if you saw this, Danny, but Paul's running Glow Lunas right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Glow, they're not Big Z. They're just regular whatever. Jawbreaker, yeah. I guess.
I hope we have a chance to get them, but I doubt it.
I doubt it. They were stamping them up today. I saw them.
That's
exciting.
Like, even like reaching out through Paige, you guys sponsor Paige. You can't be like, hey, Paige, could you like maybe
did you watch?
Talk to
did you watch our Paige? Or did you listen to our Paige episode?
Well, there's been two Paige episodes, right?
Yeah, the original SFO one, which is
so I listened live, to yeah. the one where she was talking about mostly the avocado.
Oh,
farm
so
place.
You that was the I'm surprised that one didn't get more traction.
I loved that episode.
Paige
that was
called
fantastic.
Her dad a racist in that episode.
I heard that.
Like, I don't know
you
how
know
that
funny?
Pop off
you
in
know
like
super
all of
funny?
Disc golf.
You know what's super funny? Like, there was a huge argument in our Slack channel about Paige's dad and, like, his parenting style. And having listened to that episode, I was, like, watching all that go through and just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to sit back. And it was basically around the like, you know, if you're not first, you're last type mentality that was on there.
She's definitely first.
Yeah.
She's a competitor for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a good episode, though. And
she's
yeah,
amazing.
But no, that was a fantastic episode and definitely pretty eye-opening.
She's
on
like
that
such
part.
An amazing human. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think everyone gets that like just watching her play.
Yeah.
Or, like when you meet Paige, like that like aura kind
of
just.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the right
that,
word.
When you,
like,
when
I'm
you meet Paige, you're like, you're so small.
Yeah, it's you're so small and
the power that comes out of that frame.
But it's also
yeah.
like the way like, she like carries herself.
Really understand how tiny Paige is.
She's not large. And the way she carries yeah. herself is insane, man.
Yeah.
She carries yeah, herself
I mean,
like
she's
a giant human.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way she carries herself is giant, but it's just it's incredible.
There's a reason she's
the SFO and I saw like German person I was like oh shit, like Colin gets
you're a
giant.
Giant.
And
yeah.
then I saw Paige and I was like, oh my God, you're so little.
Yeah, it's like you're so little. And then.
And you can outdrive me any day of the week.
Nice save, Joe.
She's so good.
Here, so when I first started playing disc golf, my whole goal was to be rated higher than Paige. And that's I got there for a little bit.
For now, yeah.
And now she's
I'm 973 rated still, and she's 980 something rated, so.
Yeah, she's 988.
She passed me
up.
That's
insane.
She don't pass me up. She's way better than me.
Yeah.
Maybe what like she keeps playing like this like 18 months, 2 years to 1,000. Yeah.
The hard part about her for reaching 1,000, it's not that she's 1,000 rated golfer, because if she's playing against men, she might be. But the ratings are like sagged slightly because the competition's not quite up to her level.
What if she just cherry picked some MPO tournaments and started just doing that?
She should every now and then, man.
It would suck for the FPO game, but if she cherry picked certain ones to play against the right competition where it wasn't like a disc golf pro tour or anything like that, I mean she could pick up some strokes there.
Let me get crazy on this. Let's be honest. Like get deep into it. If you're cherry picking like B tiers or like off brand,
no,
you'd be cherry picking pro open or pro only tournaments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because pro only ratings go up.
It needs to be good competition.
Yeah, you have to be good competition. So it'd be like St. Patty's.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a great example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's done it at like USDGC.
Yeah, she gets one of a handful of women to ever play USDGC.
Yeah, Juliana. Yeah.
I think Kat played it once.
It's been fun to see.
Oh no, not Kat.
Paige Shu.
No, was it? What's her face? Prodigy sponsored now.
No, I think it's like Latitude. Isn't she Latitude?
Oh yeah,
Tatar.
Latitude.
Yeah, Kristen Tatar played.
Tatar played for sure.
Tatar played.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's been, I think, like six women to play USDGC.
Yeah, and that's going to be our one major this year, and so they're going to have an FPO division, which is awesome, so that there is a, you know, a major for that side.
You see Paul today?
They would have been...
Huh? Paul today brought up he was like, is it weird that we're going to have one major and there's no Europeans?
I did see that.
Like, there's not a European major at all.
That's sad.
It is.
I mean, like, it's... And it's all our fault, really. Like,
yeah, it's all America's fault. It's not Europe's fault. They're doing... Yeah, I mean, Sweden's not doing great, but the rest of Europe's doing pretty damn well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's unfortunate. Like, there's so much talent there. I can't wait to see the European talent rise.
I feel like
they love the sport so much, and there's so many people into the game. It's bound to produce more.
I feel like the European talent affects the women's division far more than it affects the men's division.
I agree.
You got the big three over there.
Like with Henna, Evelina, and Tatar, like that's three monsters that are all probably top 5 to 7 in the world.
Yeah. And can beat any American player in any tournament at any time.
There are only two Americans that drive further than any of those three or drive as far.
And Katrina can't play consistently enough.
Her putt is awful. Putt,
but and Paige falls apart from time too.
Yeah, she does.
But it's you know, Paige is easily more dominant than any of the players in the world, but still the opening is there. She has her times where she doesn't execute very well, and those European players can absolutely take it from her.
I will say there, I feel like there's a couple American ladies who have jumped up recently to jump in that
Missy
category.
Is one of them.
Missy and Kona.
Kona. Yeah. So to me, what it is Kona's drives are legit. Like,
exactly.
She's got power backhand, forehand.
Rushes.
Where Missy has the putt.
Yeah.
Missy doesn't throw as far as everyone else. Like, she's throwing a 9-speed on holes where Paige is throwing a fierce.
Well, then, like, Jennifer Allen, too. Yeah. Jennifer Allen also is a crusher.
I feel like she plays well at very open courses.
Yeah. But Kona's what, distance. Like probably probably 430, 450.
Not that far.
Not that far.
No.
Even on
Haley
like
King,
I see your
so I played with Haley King before, and I throw 450 pretty regularly, and Haley's like flex shots were getting 420.
Okay.
No, Kona. If you go back,
Kona throws far.
If you go back to the whatever the dinette, the DDO or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she was the closest to Paige in those groupings. Like everyone,
she has a good forehand. I think that's where her power
is. Not close to her, and she was right there. And and you could hear the commentators, the women being like, "Oh, she can get like I think she's a 400 plus."
Yeah, Kona's probably 400 plus, which is 4.410.
And I think she can flex out, you know, to probably that like 4.
So where I see the elite women is it's Kona and Haley in the distance, and it's because they're forehand.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them have 360 plus forehands,
which is killer.
Which is great.
I think like
huge.
Almost anyone.
Nobody else has that in the women's
division, forehand.
Other than like Hokum, but she can't throw a backhand.
I don't have a 300 forehand.
No, it's Hokum, it's Weiss, and then look at Widboom from the last tournament.
Oh,
too.
Ellen's
local.
Ellen's doing great.
But you know what? I've seen from Katrina Allen that I think, depending on course, is going to separate her a little bit. Something that I haven't seen from other FPO players, and maybe they have it. I just have never seen them pull it out. A good roller game.
Yeah, Katrina has the best roller. Too bad she missed five footers.
Yeah, well, that's always been the Katrina thing. But I think that, you know, just that ability to like lay down a roller, can do a lot. Like when we watch like the La Mirada stuff and like the California layout, like watching the women play and being like, but every like there's seven holes on that course that are built for just
roller
a nice
holes.
Roller and not a single woman through a roller.
Yeah,
that does happen.
We've also talked about on previous episodes just the need to be able to have every shot now.
Mm-hmm.
For the MPO game, you have to unless you're Conrad. There's very few examples of people that don't have the forehand and don't have, you know, an elite backhand on top of that.
When was Conrad's last win?
Good call.
USDGC.
USDGC. Right.
He fights at the top, though, is what I'll say.
No, he's totally top tier. But
he's top seven in the world.
But that separator is just that piece. And that's the thing. Like,
I agree.
If you go back a few tournaments, like, you can tell, as crazy as his weird, overstable flex shit is, like, Nico put a ton of work into his forehand. His forehand was so clean at preserve.
Nico would be better if he got away from that weird flex backhand shit.
Totally. Totally would. But what I was getting at, though, was that at what point does the... So in the MPO game, you cannot... It's very unlikely that you're going to win tournaments without a full, complete arsenal of shots.
I think it's when...
That's not the case in FPO yet.
I think when that happens is when players... Like, I think Paige, the reason why she wins so much is because her backhand and her putt is good at the same time.
Yep.
And if you get women, more women players where their putt and their backhand is good at the same time, the forehand becomes more dominant.
Yep.
And so if we could see Katrina, like, dial in the putt, or Missy dial in her drives a little bit more because her putt's legit. Like, Missy's putt's world class. But if she gets 50 feet of distance and dials that in a little bit more, and then
Kona's,
we'll have...
Or Kona's putt.
Or Kona's putt, because Kona's drives are legit. Get her putt dialed in. And I think like players
what
like...
What about Tatar developing a forehand?
Yeah,
or Tatar like
developing a forehand. Haley King just getting more consistent. Because I feel like Haley King's the Anthony Barella of the women's division.
100%. Yeah.
Where it's that elite distance, elite forehand,
long
good putt, but just shaky.
Far.
Yeah,
skinny.
Similar putt too.
Similar putt, hard and from the deep position, like pitch putt for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they get more of the consistency all around, is when forehand's gonna matter more in the women's game.
Yeah. Because
right now
totally.
There's some players that are backhand only or forehand only.
Well, just the fact that Sarah Hokum can be an elite player. Not quite as much recently, but has definitely had an incredible career with forehand only. It says something like that.
Yeah.
That's just not possible in the MPO level of disc golf.
No,
so,
no.
And she's been working backhand lately.
She has. I've seen it. but it just we talk a lot in disc golf about where the next level of disc golfer is going to be, and like these young people, these young guys coming up, and things like that. But what about when FPO has that player like Eagle that can Eagle equivalent that has the crazy forehand dominant power and the crazy back, you know, Paige Pierce backhand power, mm-hmm. and equivalent level forehand power and accuracy. And I think that's going to be huge.
It's coming for sure. And I think what's going to be the separator is, can that person putt?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's a necessity for anyone to compete at that level is to have that putt and that consistency. And it's going to be someone to, you know, be the Eagle to Paul, where somebody's going to come in and challenge the Paul of FPO, which is Paige, is just five-time and shredding right now. And there will be someone, and it might very well be that, you know, a Kona or a Haley. And I mean, I just feel like the sport is in great hands on both sides too. It's exciting to see what's going to happen over the rest of this year and then over the next, you know, few years, and where it's going to go, especially as the sport's blowing up right now too, with this downtime that we've seen this, you know, big influx of new golfers. And that there's inevitably a talent pool that's coming out of that.
Yeah. And you know, what if we just get someone out of the blue that can putt like Ricky came on and just all of a sudden showed us that putts can be made anywhere from 100 feet in and can be made with regularity? What if we see that equivalence in the FPO game, where someone just comes in and shows us you have to putt like this, and then all of a sudden the game is, that's the new standard. You have to do this. You have to be able to putt like this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, at least at the looks of it right now, my money would be on Missy Gannon. Her putt is looking so like deadly. And you know, to Aaron's point, if she just dials in that drive a little bit and gives herself chances on, you know, 12 of the 18 holes, 15 of those 18 holes, or, you know, all of them. Like, it's going to be nasty if Missy can get it, because I think she does have that Wysocki-type range to bring that threat to the FPO division, which Paige has sort of already done, you know. She makes putts from everywhere.
Isn't Missy a two-time putting world champion, or is it just one time?
At least one, for sure.
I know it's one for sure.
I think she made a joke about two-time because there won't be a putting world championships
this year. Oh, this year? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I met Missy before we ever signed her. My first round at 2018 Am Worlds, I was on the same card as her boyfriend, and she was caddying for her boyfriend.
Yeah, Tom.
So I met Tom and Missy in 2018, and we signed Missy late 2019, I think.
Something like that. Yeah, that was just Paige saying, hey, this is someone that you should, you know, that you should look into signing because she's going to be really good.
And very that was similar the same to Ezra.
With how we, yeah, that's how we signed Ezra. As Nate Perkins says, this guy's going to be really good. You should, you know, look into sponsoring him.
We're like, Both of them were just like, send a message. Like, yeah, let's do it.
Yep. Let's start the conversation and see where it goes.
We should have done that on our podcast, but I now want to know more about Ezra and how that came to be and what y'all know about him, and like
it's all Nate, man. Nate Perkins. He actually told us about Ezra on his first podcast with us. He was in the shop on our podcast, and he was like, "You guys should go look up Ezra. Like, he's a kid from South Dakota, and he throws far. He's gonna be good." And we're like, "All right, let's do it."
Yeah, he kind of just mentioned it in passing about, you know, someone that's up and coming and has an interesting way of doing things with, you know, heating up his beans in the Prius and just vegan and shredding out there, and said, you guys should hit him up. And yeah, you know, we said, we'll do that. And I reached out to him, I think within the next couple days, and we figured something out. And he's clearly just kicking ass right now. It's fun to see with him dropping that 1092 round. Yeah. And then the skins and playing well, and then top 10 and D-Glow. Yeah.
Dude's been on fire. I want to say on the podcast, episode 32, I think is what it is, when Ezra was on.
Yeah.
He said I think it was like 994 or something right at the time. And he was like, I want to be 10-20 rated by the end of the year.
Yeah, and he very well might do it.
And he might do it.
Yeah.
His game is really, really well-rounded.
He looks
smooth throwing backhand and forehand.
Man.
His putt is great.
The step putt is so nasty. And
it's been fun to watch because we didn't really know his game. You could see a little bit of it. I think he was on a couple videos before we signed him, and you could see the raw ability. And then watching that 1092 round and then the skins.
And then meeting him, too, because when you meet him, he's sort of unassuming at first. You can tell, it's a big dude. He's in good shape. But he's not, an in-your-face, with ego type of guy. And then you talk to him. And then you talk to him, and it's like, well, he's not in your face with ego, but the dude's got a lot of damn confidence. He's not afraid to put his goals out in the open, so everyone hears him.
So
that matters.
He's 1,007 right now.
Yeah, and he was 990 something in January.
That'll be up very
soon. So plus six as of the July 14th.
Yeah, that's not
ratings
update. 1092 rating is not on there.
Is not on there yet. Exactly. So he's
averaging 1035.
Lower rounds falling off,
probably.
He might be 1014 rated at the end of this.
Could be.
It's August, basically. More or less, it's August, and he's got 5 months left of the year to get to 1020. It's very doable.
It's going to be fun to watch. I hope we get to see more of him on video. I think we'll push for him to be on another skins match, assuming that schedule works out. And it'll be really cool to hopefully see him creep up on some of the coverage here and there, because it's fun to watch, dude. I really enjoy watching him play, and we have that bias of wanting to see him play because he's on our squad.
Dude,
but
his
even
fast
that
switch
bias
ability.
Aside,
his fast switch ability is I think Drew might be the only person on the same level.
Eagle's got a lot.
Eagle does have a lot, and Simon does too. But they're both long.
Yeah.
Emerson Keith, that little guy with that explosion, that's for sure fast switch.
It is.
He's also working. He's played 14 tournaments so far this year.
It is. Emerson always does that. I don't know. Which there's something about Ezra.
Not a lot in
Ezra to me is the fast switch, but it's also way smoother than anybody else.
When he's tall. Tall. Eagle's got that too,
but it's the shape.
Paul's got plenty of that.
It's the athleticism. I think there's multiple levels of athleticism, and disc golf hasn't seen the highest yet. Not even close.
Yeah.
No.
And we're
definitely not.
In 10 years, there's going to be some dude that's imagine if, I don't think LeBron knows how to throw necessarily, but if there's an athlete that level,
Or you think a Kevin Durant or someone like that, that has crazy long arms still has
coordinated.
The fine motor skill.
I think it's
now's the time to get Alden Smith. Now's the time.
Dude, so look at Amir Garrett. A reliever from the Reds.
Exactly.
The lefty. His first round, he was throwing 390-foot forehands. I mean, he throws 100 miles an hour left-handed.
And he's 31 years old.
Yeah,
too.
So you get get a kid that's 17.
Yeah.
That's that level of athleticism. And they're going to blow people out of the water, man. And we don't have that in the sport yet.
We don't.
So, Aaron, did you play sports?
I played college baseball.
Yep.
So I played a high school basketball and baseball. So I'm a huge basketball fan. Pretty damn big baseball fan. Baseball sucks in this quarantine with no fans, but basketball translates better to no fans than baseball does.
Joe Kelly for president.
Oh, Joe Kelly, man. I think everyone in baseball cheats, but the fact that the Astros are such whiners about it, Joe Kelly.
Anybody that thinks that Joe Kelly was trying to bean someone,
I think he was trying to hit Bregman. I don't think he was trying to hit Correa.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a curveball at the ribs, and Correa ducked and almost hit himself in the head with it.
It was a curveball. Who tries to bean someone with a
curveball? Nobody. He tried to hit Bregman in the head for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I love it.
Whatever. I love it too. Correa is such a whiner.
What did you play in baseball?
I'm sorry, Astros fans.
I was a catcher.
All right.
Yeah, so my body's...
Baseball translates... We've talked about this on our podcast so much. Baseball translates to disc golf so well. And you see a lot, and I'm sure you both have seen Aaron and Danny, and we've seen a good chunk too, the crazy anomaly of the right-hand, backhand, left-hand, forehand, and vice versa.
Yep.
Like, all built out of baseball, which is nuts, but it all works really, like, and that's when you see, like, the biggest crushing forehands are these, like, ex-baseball players.
Dude, so there's actually, like, a decent amount of people in NorCal that all played junior college baseball together and, like, around the same time, and I was actually talking to one of the dudes the other day, and we for sure figured out that I faced him. Like, there's 100% no chance I didn't face him. And I probably faced some people up there in Santa Rosa, because I played against Santa Rosa Junior College. So I played at Delta here in the Big Eight. And we played against, like, Rockland and Sac City and American River and Consumnes River. So yep. A lot of these local area baseball players that are now playing disc golf, I definitely played against them. And it's kind of a weird thing.
I didn't play baseball. I could have played football at the JC, but I decided to just go drink at Chico.
Yeah, that's better, probably.
I also realized that at 5'11", 240, being a football lineman doesn't really go anywhere after
Dude,
that.
Dude, that's my catcher life. So when I played in junior college, I was 6'1", 165, and like I would go to go to 4-year schools, and they'd look at me like, "You're a catcher." Like yeah, like you should probably gain some weight. I'm like, I'm trying.
Last time I weighed 160 was freshman year of high school. I broke 200. I remember it very clearly. Summer before sophomore year of high school, going to like double days of high school. I like was at 201, so I only had to run like 6 laps for the 10-minute run or some shit. Nice. Which was great, but I broke 201. But I mean, by the time I was a senior, I was 225. Like, I haven't been under 200 since sophomore year of high school.
Like, granted, right now, if I stepped on a scale, it'd probably be over it. But I've never stepped on a scale and been over 200. I've been 199.5.
I'm way over it now. But
I'm for sure probably like 205 right now. But
yeah, I've been up 230 area. I was a big boy.
Oh, I'm very much a big boy. But there was
you got kegs at the shop. It's hard to stay skinny.
There was a lovely time in my life where I was like a big boy, like in good shape. But that's been 20 plus years. So, you know.
I weigh 230 right now, but I'm down from 245.
Well done, sir.
You look tall. I don't know how tall you are, but you look tall on a video.
I'm like 5'11".
Oh, so we're probably about the same height then. So,
I'm 5'11 on a good day.
All right, I might be a little taller than you then.
I'm 6 foot with hair. I'm wearing a hat right now, but my hair poofs up. It does stuff.
Robin's like 5'11 and a quarter, and I'm like 5'10 and 3/4. Like, we are very.
Oh, you guys are about the same height then.
Yeah. Oh, we're very. We're.
I don't know why, but Robin looks way tall right now. Robin looks like he's 6'4 in this video.
He's just it's
the angle of the camera is what it is.
I'm slouching too.
It's that square jaw Tom Brady face.
It's Tom Brady.
my beard and my hair just, you know, add a lot.
I'm gonna say the beard makes you look shorter.
It's the traps.
The beard probably does me shorter.
It's those guys.
It's the Lord of the Rings, the fucking axe dude, Gimli.
Oh yes. Yeah. What's his name?
Gimli.
So speaking of beards, like, we got to shout out Sarge's Beard Bombs real quick.
Oh, Sarge is a podcast guy.
Yeah, he loves the podcast.
Yeah,
he sponsored our podcast, so we need to get his stuff online. But go check out Sarge's Beard Bombs.
Oh, Sarge, you don't rep our podcast, even though you okay, whatever, bro.
Sarge is a boom fling, not regular, I guess. He broke his boom fling virginity. This year. Nice. Last year.
Is this Sean Sargiotto?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we got his stuff in the shop. We should get it online soon. Sorry, Sarge.
I need to meet that guy in person.
He's a great dude.
Yeah.
No, like I've had multiple conversations with him, and he's obviously an awesome person.
Yeah.
Just been like one of those things like, damn, dude, how have we not like cross paths yet? Especially since like
Orange
he was at some point
work out.
I think so. At one point I believe he lived in Sac, or maybe still does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that like he and I were on Shady Oaks at the same time, but to be honest, when I was playing Shady Oaks, I was still like, I had no idea what disc golf was. In Chico, it was different. Like, you just went up there. There wasn't like a huge tournament scene that I knew of at that time.
Did you play at Bidwell a lot?
Yeah.
Upper Bidwell?
At that time,
Upper Bidwell.
It was Upper, but
yeah.
It's Peregrine. Like, it became so much
now
bigger.
It's Peregrine Point.
And it was all tone poles. Like,
Bidwell's such a crazy park, man.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It's awesome.
I love that, like, pool river thing at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Go swim in there for sure.
It's incredible.
That part's amazing. Like,
yeah. So no, there's some incredible swimming holes. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Chico, dude, we haven't had a 110 degree day yet in Stockton, knock on wood.
110 is so freaking high, though.
It is, but like, we have them regularly every year, and we haven't had it this year.
Aaron, are you from Stockton? I know.
Born and raised.
Danny, he's Marysville and whatnot.
I was born at St. Joseph's Hospital right down the street.
That is false.
So, yeah, definitely born and raised in Stockton. I went to high school and like middle school a little bit outside of Stockton. So if you guys are baseball fans, Aaron Judge, his dad was my high school basketball coach for 3 years. I know Aaron pretty decently.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, he was not as good in high school. He was good, really good. But he wasn't like rookie of the year good. Then he went to Fresno and kind of like everyone thought he was going to play basketball or football. That's kind of what it was.
Yeah, because he's huge.
He's giant. Like, and then the A's wanted him as a pitcher. He threw decently hard, but he was just big. Then he went to Fresno and like late in his tenure in Fresno turned it on and everyone's like, yeah, we want this guy.
This guy can rake.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it works. So Aaron's
it's still working. Aaron's he's a having great a great dude. Start this year, too.
Aaron, so he's adopted. I don't know if anyone knows that. Like, Aaron's adopted, and he's got an interesting family life. Like, definitely different. Like, Linden's a small country town. He grew up being like the superstar of the town, of the little small town. So, he's always had big shoes to fill.
Well, he's doing a fucking great job.
Yeah, he is
like, man,
for sure.
He's
I mean, obviously he's had some injury issues and stuff like that, but that's to be expected with a dude that's so huge.
Dude,
like
he's
that.
Giant.
It's just, it's just hard. Like, how do you imagine moving that much mass without getting hurt?
What's crazy about him, I didn't see him for like 3 years. Like, I saw him later in his college career, and then I didn't see him until like right before he went in, like got to the majors. And the first time I saw him, like after that 3 years, I was like, holy fuck, like, your bicep is the size of my fucking leg.
That shit happens, man. Like, our high school, we don't have anybody as cool as that, but we have one dude who went to MLB and one guy who went to the NFL. And each of them, I knew, and I played, they're both a year ahead of Robin and I. One guy named Tommy Everidge, who was in the A's system.
I know that name. I was a bat boy for the Porch, and he was our first baseman.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. He was on the team when I was a bat boy for the Ports.
That was a Sonoma High product.
Yeah, I knew him pretty well.
He was a big boy in high school, and he actually played football through his junior year. He quit his junior year just to focus on baseball senior year. But I remember I went up as a sophomore. I went up to varsity when they went to playoffs because they could bring some people up from anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I remember running into him being like, this dude is a fucking brick shit house. Fuck, dude. He is so strong. He's the first time I ever saw someone squat in the weight room and
the
see
bar
the
was
bar,
bent.
Bar bend. I was like, what the fuck? How can you do that? And then he went to Sonoma State and put on more weight, but his gut went away. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't understand this. And then the other guy, this guy named Tony Mall, who was a tight end for us, like 6'5". He was probably like 6'5", 235 out of high school. He ended up graduating from University of Nevada, Reno at like 305 as a guard and got drafted by the Packers and played like 8 years in the NFL as a lineman. But it's
played with the Ravens too. So, he actually has a
Chargers.
Winery on so I'm a landscape architect contractor and I have a I have my landscape yard and my design office in one place, but the frontage of the property is like a furniture store, and then there's a winery, and this dude actually has his winery there on the same property. It's kind of like a multi-use thing, but whatever. But it's called Three Fat Guys.
Nice. That's awesome. So was Tommy Evers...
I don't know who the other two fat guys are, but he's the main one.
The other two fat guys are other Green Bay Packer linemen from when he came in.
Nice. That's
that
sick.
Never show up.
Was Tommy Evers a class clown?
Not really, but he was fun. So. He was a fun guy. He was super
He was definitely
funny.
The class clown of like the clubhouse when I was there.
Oh, I'm sure.
I remember those days very fondly because that was like the team with Dallas Braden and Kurt Suzuki and all like some really, really good players. Exactly. And he played first for them fools.
And he hit and it was jacks, man. He had fucking
He did. He had some fucking mammos when I was there. And it was the first year of the brand new Porch Stadium. It's not that new anymore, but in 06 or 05 or whatever, it was brand new. That's sick. It's awesome that you know him and I know him.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a rad dude. I run into him here and there. He's done some stuff for Boys and Girls where I work. Like, he's cool. But, yeah,
it
I
was
just
one
remember
of the...
just being, like, running into him after, like, my career up to the point in football was I was just bigger than everyone. I could just run through people. And then I ran to him, and I was like, nope.
Yep.
That's
nope.
Just
Can't
all
do that.
He's just fucking... jacked.
Like, every now and then you just run into a player that's either like way stronger or like throws way harder than anything you've ever seen before, or like something is like elite and you're like, nope, I can't compete.
No, he was elite that he could have kept playing football and done fine, but
he did pretty damn well in baseball, in all honesty. Like,
yeah, I remember
he made double A for sure, probably triple A.
No, he went like, pro.
did he make it all the way to the A's?
He did.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, that's dope. I didn't know if he did or not.
He
got close.
In his, like, second or third game, he hit a double off the Green Monster, like, probably...
That's sick.
6 feet from going out off of Papelbon.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Like, he saw the fucking Red Sox closer as a pinch hitter and was, like, 6 feet away from putting it out.
And Papelbon was legit then.
Totally.
Yeah, at that point.
No, like, he was the best closer in baseball, like, other than, like, Kimbrell.
Yeah, I just remember, like, having cable and knowing, like, Tommy was playing and making sure I could watch A's games and watching that shit and, like,
that's
being...
kind of the same, good. Like, with us and Dallas Braden here.
Well, he's Dallas done is, a little bit more, but yeah.
The Dallas is the hometown Stockton kid. The dude's got 209 tatted on his stomach. Like
yeah,
that dude is Stockton through and through.
Tattoo, that's not that great.
Danny, I don't think you're partying as hard as the rest of us. Looks like you're
I'm answering
out there.
So many freaking random work questions that
this
have
is,
come up over the last like two and a half hours.
This is why OTB kills it, is because Danny kills it at all hours he's awake.
I approve.
He's the hardest working man
like,
in America.
I don't want to deal with it tomorrow. I just want to get it done with and not think about it.
We're going to have to deal with it tomorrow also. It's just going to be somebody else.
Hey, this dude, we've been podcasting for like 4 hours. Like, we're rolling.
That's what's up. Good. That's awesome. Teresa's probably mad at Danny.
She's asleep already.
Nobody's mad at me.
Or at least trying to, yeah.
Danny, I feel like you had at least less than one-third of the amount of drinks I've had.
I mean, I've had three probably since we've started, but we also pre-gamed a decent amount. I had a couple double IPAs before I left the shop.
Very nice.
Okay.
We're definitely drinking. We definitely drink at the shop, so...
I know, that's why I want to visit.
Yeah, come visit. We're going to have more taps, hopefully, when we move.
We would have been there so long ago already, just with all this Rona and everything. It's just, like,
damn,
it's brutal.
Rona.
Like, I mean, we had Danny up here, put him up in the barn studio.
That was so much fun.
The goal was to come back down and, like, do the same thing down in your guys' place
and
play
we will.
Some course we never played before. And
it'll happen for sure.
It's brutal.
You got to come check out Tracy. It's a new course. There's no tee pads. The baskets are kind of old. Golf is great.
Come try this course. Tee pads suck. Baskets suck.
Golf is great,
such
though.
Such a great sales pitch.
But the golf is great, and I'd rather have bad tee pads and bad baskets and good golf.
Listen, come check her out. She's kind of old.
We're having A, so I don't know if this is the best place to announce this or not. We're running a series of tournaments there. We already had one. We're having the Harpoon Classic next. It'll be in August sometime. I don't know the exact date.
It's in like 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Harpoon Classic. We're going to have one tournament a year until November. Or one tournament a month until November.
Danny, what is that hat you're rocking?
It's a Findlay hat. It's a brand that is getting into disc golf just a little bit, and we've done a couple tournaments with them. Yeah, so he's got a similar hat. They're really
I also
nice
have
hats.
One on.
That's just clean. Oh, those are
clean. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, we're getting some OTB ones soon.
A Findlay run. It would sell like crazy.
They're a little late on the shipping, but
right now, because they have so much demand, like they're seeing a crazy amount of demand, which is great for them. But yeah, definitely is putting the shipping time.
They come out.
Time,
I'll just show you what they do.
Time.
So,
shipping hats sucks balls though.
It does. 100% agree with you there.
And people are like, I don't want to pay $40 for a hat, and you're like, well, dude, it cost me $6 to ship it. So
yeah.
Like,
but these
I
hats,
don't know what to tell you.
These hats stay on if you try to do a backflip.
I'm not gonna try and do backflip. Being honest, I'm being honest.
I mean,
honest.
That's, I mean,
things,
fair point, but
they will stay
don't
on
really
for
have
the
to worry
whole.
About
yeah,
when hat shopping.
If you get really drunk and it's windy,
yeah, I was
gonna
say, I might
just button up,
fall backwards, but I
button
won't
up. You can like you can tie it down here, and it'll stay on your neck. Like,
no, that's great. I definitely, when I look at hats, I'm like, can I do a backflip in that hat?
Yeah,
that's what you should look at, man.
Yeah, yeah. No,
how many backflips do a day? Probably a few.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, I've done a backflip in the last 7 days. Thank you very much. Yeah,
I figured you did.
It was off of a 10-foot platform into a pool.
I don't think Joe did, but Robin probably did at least one.
I'm a front flip guy.
Oh, man.
I go with what I know, you know, like I can see where I'm going, so I.
You know, front flips are actually a lot harder than back flips.
They are, at least off a diving board.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
I mean, if you get some momentum going on flat ground, a little bit easier, but off of a diving board or a platform, you got to it's harder. Or especially on like a trampoline.
I grew up
front
with a big
trampoline. Front flips are hard on
a
trampoline.
I grew up with a big trampoline and I could never get myself to do a backflip, but I could crush front flips all day every day. I could do doubles.
That's crazy.
That's so weird because backflips are like zero effort on a trampoline.
Yeah,
it's just a different commitment level. It's a fear factor, yeah.
I'm guessing Joe was doing like he lands on his back in the middle of the front flip and then...
And then front flips onto his back?
No, bro. I had it for days. I was legit on that bad boy.
He has to use other people's spring to get him higher enough.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with getting that double bounce.
There's nothing wrong with it at all. Have you seen that dude that does like, I don't even know how many times they like 17 bounce him, but like on that 17th bounce he does like 12 backflips. It's pretty insane. It's like the dopest trampoline I've ever seen. Like I don't know how they don't tear through it.
Oh, one of those long like Olympic trampolines. Those things are sick.
Yeah, there's some cool people on TikTok that have some crazy trampolines that I'd be watching them. Do unreal things on there.
I'm too old for TikTok.
No, you're not. TikTok's gonna be what Facebook was 10 years ago.
No, I'm probably too old for. Well, not too old. I think Facebook
you're not,
should
dude,
go away.
You guys would kill it on TikTok.
We don't have
but
any content.
We'd have
for
to
TikTok.
Like do stuff.
No, you don't. You can just you don't at all. I think everyone needs to be everywhere. So that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Every 8 hours I'll post a picture of Rob and be like, Tom Brady question mark and just see where it goes.
That'll kill it. Like that might kill it on TikTok.
Done. It's happening.
I think you should do it. Just post a picture of his face in a different hat, different like lighting.
Every day. Lots of pictures of Rob and we're fine.
Yeah, it's perfect. One of them will pop off for sure.
I'll take screenshots from like videos. We'll be fine.
Perfect.
It's been like 25 minutes since we've talked about disc golf. We've gone.
That's
from,
okay.
That's fine. We don't talk about disc golf much on our podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, can happen.
It happens.
I just want to see the video of Joe throwing down the hill on a Napa hole 8. That's a good video.
Did you find it?
If you log into Slack right now and just type in "oh no" and it'll pop up automatically.
Yeah,
I need to find the Slack. Danny texted me the Slack afterwards.
A bot response in there. So if you just in any channel type the words "oh no" in our Slack group, the video will show up. It's fantastic.
I'll do it in the main thread.
Yeah.
Also, anywhere. I don't know how to get to Slack, but invite me.
Go to our website.
Oh yeah, you said this earlier. Say it again so all our fans can hear.
So throwstuffatstuff.com. There's a join Slack link in the main navigation. Just hit it. It takes you to an invite thing.
I just sent it in the
Joe
chat.
Joe just messaged it to you as well.
I just got that. So, boom.
But yeah.
But legit, it's an
active group. I mean, so there's like 970 something current members. I'd say there's on a daily basis about 200 active members commenting, which is pretty good. And just people, we've created channels over the years. So there's like a Midwest disc golf channel, and there's a Colorado disc golf channel, and there's a Michigan disc golf channel, and
a NorCal disc golf, a SoCal disc golf,
Southeast and SoCal disc golf, and NorCal disc golf, and so just all kinds.
That's so good. I
heard it just now. That was great.
So
we're gonna make. We haven't told anyone this yet, but we're gonna make some disc golf cards one day, and we're gonna make a Joe and Robin. Like a Joe card, a Robin card, and then a Joe and Robin card. So
that'll be nice.
Yeah.
And Joe's will be oh no.
I'm a big sports card fan. Somewhat more recently, like I've got back into it. So I want to make disc golf cards.
I like it.
Sounds rad.
Like there's already the Pro Tour cards, which are sick, but they have other cards.
No, I agree. The Pro Tour cards are awesome.
I wish more people got into them. And I've been buying them like as collectors, like early Pro Tour cards. Like, I'm going to go and buy some Paul and Paige cards and Ricky cards. So
just having stuff like that up on the wall is fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
And a chance to be a good investment, too, is cool.
I think so.
Here's one other awesome thing. So we had the Twitter beef that came through with Brody and Hannah and everything.
I just watched the whole time.
Good for you. I also should have watched the whole time because it probably wouldn't have made a difference really in the whole thing. But one of our fantastic listeners, what happened to be the 3,000th order from the foundation site.
Perfect.
Which they the reward was they signed a Paul Macbeth Undertaker.
I hope they sent it to you.
They did.
Yes.
He's looking at it.
They did.
You can
tell.
That's
so great.
So, right here, I have the 3,000 thank you order signed by Paul Macbeth and Zach and Hunter.
And Zach's not there anymore, yeah?
Nope, he's not.
He's with whatever it's called.
Thanks for 3,000. And then you got Paul down low, right? Oh, sorry. Paul over here. And then I don't know the other signatures, but.
There's only one that matters.
There's Hunter up top, I think. And then I'm guessing that's Zach there.
All right.
But, that was pretty funny. As one of the results of that, not to mention numerous people reaching out to us and being like, keep doing what you're doing.
I like...
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
So, from my opinion, I love everything about all of that because I love your guys' podcast. And I love Hannah's like tenacity on Twitter.
Yeah.
Love Hannah on Twitter and I love Hannah on commentary. Like I don't agree with her very much, but she is great at what she does.
She is. She is. And like there's plenty of times where she's not wrong and she's doing a good job and stuff like that. But, you know, like Joe and I have said it tons of times on the podcast, like how much we loved having Hannah and Ken Climo doing commentary together.
They were
like,
so
that was
good.
Great.
They were like the best commentators disc golf's ever seen, in my opinion.
that's what we agree. Same thing. Like, that's what we want to see.
Yeah.
And it the combination of, you know, Hannah doing a great job of keeping things on the rails and being charismatic and
being informed.
And then Ken Climo, just, you're not going to get more understanding of the game than him. No. He's not outdated yet. He still understands what these people mm-hmm. are doing and why it's important in the shot selection.
Yeah,
and
knows
the
that course really, really well.
Exactly. I also love that Paul and Climo got into it on Facebook.
I do yeah. too.
That was great. That was like the best thing that could have happened, because that would never happen. Like, you will never see Michael Jordan and LeBron James get into it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
But we saw Paul and Climo get into it, and that was great.
We did. We did. Poor Kenny C, too. He's not ready for that yet.
From the joint Facebook account and all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was like, some old school shit right there.
That was some boomer shit right there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I like watching Joe travel through
the house in the dark.
Joe just got kicked out of his bedroom. That's what just happened.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, this is not that much later than we would normally be podcasting, so.
Nice. That's good.
We're perfect. Doing good. We just have to export a lot more audio files.
That's fine.
This is true. This is true.
I like how I haven't seen Danny's face this whole time. I just see a big
is
purple
sort of funny.
D.
Joe and Robin see me.
Yeah, and I'm sure they see everybody involved, and you probably see everybody involved.
Yeah.
I just don't see you.
Nah, you'll
see
me tomorrow.
Enough, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Awesome. Hey, thank you guys for being on. This was a lot of fun. We've gone probably three hours into it now. A little over
it's
three.
It was an hour and maybe four. 20, an hour and 11, and then whatever the pre thing was, so probably four.
Yeah, that was about,
I think about four.
20-30 yeah. minutes.
No big deal.
Yeah, put in some good work. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I'm going to get the hell to bed.
All right, so let's end our recording. And I love everyone listening to Jam of the Best.
Yeah. Great. Go check out the Disc Golf Podcast.
Check out Disc Golf Pod. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
All right, we're good. I figured we ended it.